Hello everyone, my name is Jen Torres and I am a God, and so are you. Like many of you, I was raised to believe that if I just prayed hard enough, God would save me. As it turns out, that was actually true. I saved me. At the age of 15, I became pregnant with a beautiful baby girl who dropped in just in time to save my miserable life. This was my first awakening. This podcast is about all of the words and listening to those words to begin to envision what is possible. Because sometimes, as individuals, we feel we need to know everything, have it all together, and be everything all of the time. But that's why we live in a world filled with other people. Each person holds a piece of the puzzle. It's about being open to new information, new ideas, and new perspectives. We're going to talk about all of the topics surrounding what it takes for you to step into your God-Goddess journey with me as we uncover all things living self-actualized and in your inherent divine God state. This podcast is about doing whatever it takes to develop and nourish the God in you. This next interview that I'm about to do right now is one I've been waiting for quite some time with the beautiful, amazing Milwaukee medium, Stacy Tatera. She is an amazing person. I know her personally. She's so fantastic at what she does. And I cannot wait to jump into this interview with her. And a little bit about Stacy is she is a certified spiritual medium through the James Van Prague School of Mystical Arts, as well as a Reiki master teacher. She's been offering readings and Reiki for over a decade. And she's also a medicinal aromatherapist and a certified angel card reader. She is a spiritual counselor and a master teacher to many. She's been teaching classes and they're amazing. She has a mediumship class coming up too, which we talk about at the end that I'm super excited about. So without further ado, let's jump into this interview with Stacy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another brand new episode of the She's God podcast. Super excited to be here and dive into this interview with Stacy, which I've introduced in the intro to this podcast already, and talk about all things being channeler, medium, all of the things. So what I like to just do is just set the stage and say that I've had a reading done myself from Stacy, and she's super well known where I live in her work that she does and her mediumship. And so for me, this is an extra little treat to be able to have you on and kind of dive into the ways in which you do your work.
Oh, thank you. You're giving me goosebumps. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. So besides being a medium here where I live and having this awesome following of people and having done this for some time, just to kind of give a little bit of background, first and foremost, welcome to the show. And would you provide maybe like a little bit of like background and upbringing of like how you sort of got on to doing what you do? What is your background?
So it's interesting because, and I feel like every person that does this kind of work as a medium or psychic intuitive or Reiki healer, it's interesting how everybody's like life kind of plays out to get us to this space. And I was actually in corporate sales for 20 years before I made the leap to do this work more on a full-time basis so that it was my sole career that I would be doing. You know, it's one of those things where I knew at a young age I was very connected to the angelic realm. And that was really a big piece of my connection as a young person. Just like everyone else, I had, you know, trials and tribulations in my life. And my childhood at some times could be challenging due to, you know, a situation with my biological father. And it created a space of stress for me, basically. And it really, I think that's what kind of got me connected into getting connected into angels and the angelic realms. It was really when my stepbrother passed away, when I was in my early 20s and in college, that the mediumship started to make more of a presence in my life. And my stepbrother Randy would start coming to me, and it was kind of a new process. I didn't necessarily embrace it like I did later in my life, as far as like, you know, seeing clients and making it more of a part of who I am and what I do. It actually took me quite a while to come out of the spiritual closet. But it was really, those were some of my pivotal moments in my life as an early, you know, 20-year-old, that these things started to happen. And when I look back now, I grew up on the East Coast. I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland, and Gettysburg's in my backyard, and, you know, the Carolinas, and I traveled a lot. And I remember being in Gettysburg, driving through those areas and seeing soldiers walk across the street. And in my head, I'm like, are other people seeing this? Because what is happening right now, right? So, you know, I think for me, I didn't fully understand it. I just knew it was happening. And again, as I got older and things just kept kind of changing and evolving in my life, the gifts just kept coming and spirit kept knocking. And I finally got to a point where I pretty much answered the call and started to take it more seriously, and also got training and, you know, took classes and did that type of thing. So that's kind of how it started. But I think as a younger person, I was just in survival mode. And so until I could get kind of through that and get more into my life, then the other, you know, gifts started to kind of pop and I could recognize it and decide what I was going to do with what that was. But I think for a lot of people now, I was very empathic, not understanding what that even was. And I think a lot of people have that empath feeling where they sense and feel other people's stuff. It impacts you physically, it impacts your energy, and they don't even realize that it's someone else's stuff that's impacting them. And so that was me growing up too. So there, again, there's a lot to try to figure out and understand. And, you know, it just is a process. So I teach a lot more now, and I teach about these things because there are people, you know, like you and me that are out there that don't understand it and need help and want the guidance, and, you know, they are gifted and they don't know what to do with that. So I feel very lucky and fortunate to now be able to help all along that path, because I had some guidance, but I didn't necessarily have a mentor per se. And so a lot of those things I had to figure out on my own, kind of the hard way. So I'm like, if I can help people avoid some of those things, then that's what I'll do. But it was really as a younger, like 20 some year old person, that things really started to kind of click for me. And it was just over the years that it kept evolving and growing. But it definitely, I think, happened more later in my life versus some mediums are like, I see people at, you know, I was 7 and I saw these things. Like, I think I had experiences at 10 and 11 when my paternal grandfather, you know, full apparitioned in front of me. I wasn't real happy about that process, but that has happened. But that's not uncommon. You know, you'll hear anyone say, like, I had a situation where, you know, I saw something or I had an experience, and people just don't always know what to do. So, you know, I feel like that's a fairly common thing for people to.
Totally. Yeah, totally. I can relate to so much of what you're saying too. I mean, I feel like I really resonate too with that survival piece, because I mean, like when I was a child, I saw spirits. Like I would always, you know, till this day, like if my cousins are around, they joke and make fun of me about how when I was a kid, I always saw spirits and were telling them about the ghosts that were around. But I think there is something, you know, for people like us and for people who listen to this podcast, there is something in that energy of like when we're just like sensitive and we're empaths and we're, you know, born into this earthly realm, and then we're navigating the earthly realm. And then all of a sudden we realize there is this like survival piece where like we realize, okay, like this is cool. Like I do, this does happen to me, but I need to get my feet on the ground and I need to like figure out how to survive in this. And I've realized too in that process, and so many people I know too can relate to this, is we shut down our gifts, you know, like in that process just to make it through, like just to kind of like figure out this world and like what we're, you know, trying to survive, just most of us, you know, just doing the paycheck to paycheck thing, trying to figure it out. But yeah, I love that you referenced that and the survival piece. And coming back to your gifts, because I feel like so many people can resonate with that sort of like cyclical cycle of like, yeah, I saw spirits, I was definitely on that journey, then boom, like survival, let's figure this out. And then eventually when you're older, kind of like opening up and allowing yourself as an adult to kind of step back into those waters. So for people who maybe are listening to this, and let's say they are not totally understanding the difference between like psychic mediumship and let's say like people who just do Reiki or people who like angel card reading, I know you do that too. What is sort of that difference between the different sort of channeling and in the terms of like channeling you do?
Sure. So the different, so I call those modalities, right? So as a medium, that's someone who's going to connect with someone who's like a loved one or someone that we know that's made their transition. So they're on the other side, they've transitioned out of this incarnation. And what we're doing is we're getting into an energetic space where we can communicate with loved ones who have passed. Psychic intuitive is where you're using an energy to really feed into someone's energy, like you're looking at someone's energy. But what happens for me is that my spirit team, our guides, for me, as well as the client, is also that whole team is there. So if someone has a specific question, let's say about, you know, a relationship or a situation at work, I'm really tuning into their team and their energy and basically channeling that information with an understanding that spirit really never tells us what to do, but they will absolutely give us some guidance and insights. And what I like to say, they help us to be proactive versus react, right? What we do with that information that we receive based on a psychic intuitive reading is entirely up to us. I always tell, you know, my clients, like, I'm going to give you information today from spirit. What you do with that is up to you. You have to follow your heart. And if we've learned anything, energy shifts and changes very quickly. And so has psychic readings. So have intuitive readings. And so our like, I like to say like our mother and our grandmother's psychic intuitive is different than who we are today. So what I've actually seen even over the years is this evolution of the work and how it needs to be done based on what clients need at this time. So when you talk about mediumship, you're talking about connecting with loved ones who have passed. When you're talking about psychic intuitive, you're tapping into our everyday issues, challenges that we want a little bit more insight on so that we can have a better way to navigate what that is. And then with angel cards, it's another modality that's more in that psychic intuitive realm, but it's another form of information based on the messages on the cards. So I think a lot of people like to understand the difference between angel cards, angel oracle cards, and tarot. That's always a big thing too. It's like, well, what's the difference even with that? And the bottom line is they both are giving you messages, but it's all about energy, right? So an angel card reading, whether you're pulling energy from, like if you have a mermaid deck, it's very watery and emotional and you have that like mermaid energy, versus if you're doing an animal angel card deck, then you get the energy from, your animal people, your animal friends and spirits, or your crystals, or higher beings like master teachers. You know, Kyle Gray's decks really embrace the energy of our master teachers and guides that work with us. So that's how kind of the angel cards work. So again, it's just using a different modality, but it's a way to work with energy. Reiki is a universal healing energy that addresses someone's energetic, right? So I became a Reiki practitioner many years ago, and partly because I needed to better control my energy and my gifts because I was just like all over the place. And I was in Salem, Mass for Halloween one year, and I had a reader tell me, he's like, you got to get your stuff under control. Like you're all out here. He recommended that I take Reiki, and I did. And it just helped me to better understand energy and how it works and the chakras and how does it impact our bodies, because we are energetic beings and everything is energy. So when I work on someone who comes in for a Reiki session, we're addressing the emotional, physical, and spiritual and energetic bodies. And so I'm looking at where things could be stuck or energetic cords that need to be kind of removed from, I always like to say, all lifetimes, past, present, and future. Really, working on your energetic plumbing so that you can clear your energy and do your healing and the work you need to do while you're in this incarnation. So it's just interesting, right? So you have this, you know, lots of different forms and modalities and energies, and some people like some things and other people kind of like others. You know, it just kind of, I think, depends on what your goal is in a reading, what you're looking to find. And it just, like I said, depends, but it's all energy. It's just different ways to kind of get to similar places. But ultimately, it's all very healing and very coming from a very loving space.
I love that breakup and like how you kind of broke it all up to show us like the different ways in which people can use things like energy work or card readings or mediumship, and how it's kind of like the way you described it made me think of like a tool bag and kind of having like all of these different ways in which you can treat people, kind of how, you know, a doctor would like have different tools. The same thing with somebody who is a divine channeler or somebody who works with these energies. There's many different tools that they can use to help someone. So yeah, I love that breakdown. And so it made me think of too, like just kind of going back to like the history of how you got to doing to what you're doing. I know that you mentioned that you kind of shifted out of that for a little while and then you kind of came back in. During that time, were you like in the corporate world? Were you like trying to work at the regular job? And if you were, just out of curiosity, how did you shift from like that state, right, of like corporate life or like regular job to what you do now? Was that like super difficult or?
Well, I felt like I was straddling two different worlds for a really long time. And it took me honestly a while to just kind of figure out how to manage all of that. So, you know, it was hard. I'm not going to lie. And, you know, I kind of felt like I was living two different lives, and you know, you're in this corporate space, but ultimately you're really hoping to embrace the spiritual part of yourself. And for some people, it's really hard to make all of that work together. Honestly, that was a tough time in my life. If I, like, now that you're making me like, reflect on it, it was hard. It was like, you know, it was not easy. And I was trying to figure out who I was. Like, I've always been kind of, I mean, you know, the programming that we go through. I went to college. I got a degree. I wanted to be on air TV news. I was in radio for a while. I honestly, at that time in my life, I wanted to work with Oprah. I moved to Chicago. I like applied. I interviewed at Jerry Springer. Like, you know, it's like kind of crazy, but I really tried to like go that path because that's what we're taught, you know, that's what we do. So to get to a space where this other life, if you will, is coming into, you know, what's already like existing and what you know is supposed to be your life, it's awkward. I guess that's the best way to put it. But I will say that what's interesting to me is I've always been on this very intense healing journey. And I feel like what some people who want to do this work don't always understand is that my dog's trying to jump up on me because he likes to be in the camera. So I'm like, don't do that right now. But I feel like it definitely, it was hard. And you have to kind of figure out like, where is all this going to fit in? And I just felt like I had so much healing to do. A lot of it was around my natural father. Like a lot of it was around my natural father and the abandonment and the trauma and all the things. And so I just felt like I had to do that in order to better serve other people from a spiritual perspective. And now I have that knowledge and insight to be able to say to when I teach, like, if you're going to get involved in this work, you're healing others, right? But the number one person that you have to remember is you're healing yourself. Like, you 100% have to heal yourself in this process. And I've had people leave classes and say, I'm not ready for this. And I totally respect that. Like, if you're not ready to tap into what this is, then don't do it. Go take care of yourself. And I always say, if I'm going to do this work, then my house has to be as clean as possible, as no one's perfect, but I need to be as integrity and in as much alignment as I can. And so if I'm living a life that's, you know, not in a space that I wanted to be able to then give someone insights or advice from spirit or what I like, that doesn't feel good to me. So I just feel like so much of what this journey is your own healing path. And I think people need to understand that, you know, we all are gifted, but not like you were even saying, we suppress it because sometimes people can't handle that on top of the healing or the trauma or the shit that they are trying to deal with from this specific lifetime. It's a lot. To kind of go back to your question, like about the whole corporate thing, it just was a slow process and transition. And once I fully left corporate, it probably took me a year to detox out of that. Then I was able to like really fully embrace what I do. But I still to this day, you know, and I was thinking about this and you may find this interesting, like my girls are 20 and 17 and they are dating and they're bringing friends home. And there have been people who have found out what I do and they don't like it. Like, and so my concern has been recently for my children and how people are responding to knowing that their mom does this work. It's interesting because my oldest walked away from a relationship as a result, partly because of that, because they were so out of alignment with the religious piece versus the spiritual piece. And Gracie was, it was not in alignment for her and she made a choice. But it's like, it's interesting. Even in today's, it's a lot to it, you know?
Yeah, there is a lot to it for sure. And it's interesting too, because just you explaining that goes to show how it's like a journey that doesn't end when it comes to the evolution of the self in integrating this, our gifts and like who we are and continuing to like walk that path. Because it is one thing to shift from like corporate life to this more spiritually led business and stuff like that. And then it's like a whole other thing when you're talking about friends, family, close coworkers, and kind of the continuation of that. Even now, after you've been doing this for over a decade, and you're still having to come up against, you know, family members, spouses or partners or whatever that could be not in alignment with it. So it just goes to show it's a continual thing. I mean, it's definitely, you know, definitely not for the faint of heart, which is what I always say, walking this path and doing this sort of work. So with, you mentioned too before, like with your mediumship and diving deeper into your gifts, that you did seek out additional help to kind of hone in and expand your gifts. So do you recommend like some sort of schooling for people who have gifts that are looking to expand them and maybe eventually have like a spiritual business?
Sure. Absolutely. So when I first started out, you know, it's so nice because now there are options for people to take classes online. And I will say that I teach mediumship, psychic, intuitive classes now too, locally here in the Milwaukee area. And there's so many resources for people, which is lovely. I did my training with James von Prague. So he has a metaphysical online school. And I have always felt very connected to his style of mediumship because everyone's kind of got a different style of how they work. So I actually took online courses with James. I did have an opportunity to work with him in a small group in Chicago, which was amazing. And I was at that point in my life getting ready to do some gallery readings because I had still was doing, you know, the one-on-one. And a gallery reading is where you're, you know, it's called platform reading. You're on in front of a room or on a stage and you're reading different members of the audience. And that was like my next step at that point. And I got up and practiced with him, with the group, and I was nervous as all heck, but it was what it like gives you the confidence to get up there and to do it. And he was like, you're ready to do this. And I was like, okay, right. So, but I remember starting the course online and thinking, oh my God, this man speaks my language. You know, it was like, I could like, I felt so connected to the information, the, you know, what I was learning and okay, I understand this now. So I am a big fan of learning, of taking courses, in practicing and doing anything that's going to help you evolve your gifts. The big thing is, I think people struggle with the most is just having the faith and trusting themselves and then having the confidence to actually go out and do it. So I do at my center, I do often like a mediumship development group where we get together and people practice. And that really, to me, practice is the best way to hone your skills. But working with, you know, a professional medium, someone who's been doing it for a fair amount of time that you trust, you like their style, I 100% definitely encourage that.
Mm-hmm. And that's so important, is just to continue on with like learning more, going deeper, finding the right people. And I like too that you said the style, you just like the style in which he taught or like did his mediumship, because I feel like that's the same thing even with like human design or whatever. There's just certain people I relate to and then other people I'm like, and I had to learn like not to feel bad about that. Like there's just certain styles in which I relate to and I connect to deeper. And that's actually how those are like your signposts for the teachers that you're meant to work under, which I think is like green light, go and do this thing. And it's another thing too I was thinking about when you were talking was about how people have these gifts and they do have these abilities to channel or to do mediumship or any sort of psychic capabilities and stuff with intuition. And a lot of times they just don't do it because they're scared. Like they will have, like I know you could probably relate, but I've known some of the most amazing, talented people I've ever met in spirituality, and they do nothing with their gifts. They will not like do anything professionally with their gifts because they're just terrified. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like it goes back to that piece that you were talking about with the self-healing that one has to go through and really go through that inner process before they can fully step into the work that they're here to do.
It happens a lot. And there's a couple things I see. There's people that, like you were saying, kind of, I always say they kind of push down their gifts to get through life, but that's only going to go so long before it starts to bubble up. And we're in an energetic time, and we have been, where people's gifts and are coming to the surface and they're being called in to be of service. And it's your choice, it's free will. But I'm seeing a lot of people that say, I've had this, my parents just dismissed it, or whatever the reason was, I was told it was wrong, it's bad. They didn't have like that nurturing support behind them to be able to say, okay, I'm going to embrace this. And so they come to me and they're in their 50s or 60s and they're like, want to do something with it, which is fantastic. But that happens all the time. And then we have people who flat out know they have gifts, but they're not necessarily willing to commit into doing the healing they need to do to really bring that forward in a way that would probably, I guess the word would be healthy or positive or impactful in a way that it needs to be. And sometimes people just don't trust themselves. So it's interesting, you know, because we look at those people and we're like, oh my gosh, like you could make such a big impact and this is such a great opportunity for you. I think for me, coming from a business background, it's made all of that kind of work for me. So when it comes to, you know, I helped start up a business. I managed a wine distributor for 4 years. And we started at a dining room table. And when I finished, we were in a full-blown warehouse. So, you know, you learn. I majored in, you know, I have a big background in sales and marketing and advertising. And so for me, that stuff comes very natural, but that's not the case. And what I see in this community, and you can tell me what you think, is that some people are like so spiritually minded, but they have zero business sense. And then you have people that have the business sense and they're really probably not to be doing spiritual work. So it's like, it's hard to find, I think, the balance in both of that. And I feel very, very fortunate that I've been able to find a solid balance in that that's helped me to be as successful as I've been. But I think, put out a good product, right? You know what I mean? Like referrals are huge. And over the years, I always say the more you do it, the better you get. And you just have to keep going. And I still take classes. And I always say I'm a teacher, but you're always a student. And what are you doing to help yourself grow? And Will I go to one of your human design classes? Yes. Will I try to learn more about other modalities that interest me? Yes. Did I just take a death doula training class? Yes. Like, I do those things too, just to kind of keep myself up to date and kind of, I guess, cutting edge of what I need to be doing. So, and you have to take care of yourself. Like, I feel like so many practitioners don't, they have no self-care, none. And I go in for energy work no less than every 3 to 4 months. I mean, I have some, you know, I have a couple of practitioners that I trust to work with my energy, and I go and I need my work done too, because that's ultimately what's going to help to better help other people. And I am a firm, I'm kind of a stickler with that. And I do teach that to my Reiki students, you know, anybody who, you know, self-care is so important anyway, but when you do this work at the level of intensity of what this work is, you have got to have a self-care protocol in place for yourself.
That perfectly leads me into my next question, which for people who are in mediumship and people who do this type of work, do you have any like tips and recommendations for them on how they can hone in on their craft and just continue to be successful in what they do?
If you feel like you need to learn more, then take a class. If you feel like you are ready and willing to take your gifts to the next level, then seek out a resource to help you do that. And in our area, I do that. Right? You know, Stacey Sherman and I are teaching a class in April for mediumship. It's a 2-day workshop. And the goal is really to help people who have gifts and don't know what to do with that, or they are kind of working with that and want to take things to the next level. So that's why I started teaching these classes. And then Stacey and I started partnering with one another, because when you have two different mediums with two different backgrounds, training and styles, that's a gift. Like, to be able to say, well, you have two people, you know, because she came from the First Spiritualist Church. And so her background and how the training is very different than the training I came from. But it creates such a well-rounded opportunity for people that really want to expand their gifts. So I just suggest, you know, go online, take some classes, find a development circle or group in your area, and just be responsible about it. That's the other thing. I feel like sometimes people just kind of throw themselves out there. They charge a ton of money. And I'm like, oh dear Lord, like, you know, that's the kind of stuff that personally makes me a little nervous, because I'm big on education, certifications, doing the work, spending the time. And I'm sure there are some people that it's like, you know, it's very natural and God bless them. And but just go about it what I would say, the right way, you know? So
no, I respect that 100%. I mean, I've also heard of mediums specifically who will tell me that they literally feel like they're going crazy. And I don't know if that's just because they haven't learned the tools and the tricks to, you know, block out like some of the stuff when they need to. I don't know what to say when they say that. I'm like,
that's definitely someone that's not really been able to learn how to control what's going on for themselves. And I can absolutely understand when someone will even say to me, the question I get probably most often from clients is, how do you turn it off? For me, I turn it off. Like, when I'm at work and I'm in my office space, I'm there to work. Just like when anyone goes to work and that's what their job is. When I leave, I've already communicated with my spirit team, I'm done. You know, I sage myself, clear myself. But I have a role as a mom, you know, as a wife, as a friend, as a daughter. Like, I have stuff to do. And so I can, like, when I go to work, I go to work. And when I'm not working, I'm not working. But one of the things that I do through visualization is I tell people who have this issue, it's like a volume dial. It's like on a remote control. Turn the volume dial off. Tell your spirit team and your guides, you cannot take any more information, insight, messaging. Like, there needs to be a very active connection between you and your spirit team to help you kind of control the gifts that you have. I always say, you control your energy. It does not control you. And so it's important that they have some protocols in place to help them shut it down. And I will tell you, and I anyone who will listen, if you're doing this type of work and you're not meditating on the daily, you're doing yourself a disservice, because that's the biggest way that you get really strongly, like your core is so connected that it's easier, right, to manage the energies that are happening around you. Because I've been there, like we've all been there, where like those of us who do this work, it's like there's someone standing in the corner and you're hearing noises and you feel like it can make you like go crazy. And then people wind up on medication that they don't necessarily need to be on. They just need to understand they have gifts going on, right? That's a whole nother podcast probably, but it is, that's why I like teaching about mediumship and helping people have a better understanding and control, if you will, of what is going on. So it's like explaining the processes so they can go, okay, I get that. Okay, I can work with this. Okay, I'm going to try this. I never thought of that. It's important that people have that in place so that they can keep control of their life, because most people are like, I can't control this. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't blame them, you know? So that's kind of what I recommend around that.
Yes. I'm so glad we touched on that, because I feel like so many people do struggle in that area and they don't know like where to start or where to go to. And I just want to highlight and underscore meditation, because every single morning, the first thing I do after making my tea is meditate. I literally light my candles, call in my guides, and I sit there and I meditate for like 20 minutes. It's a non-negotiable. Like it is a non-negotiable. It's like if I were to just get up and start my day without like taking that time to tune in and hone in on myself and my own energy, always feel like a little bit off all day long. It's like almost like I'm missing. I'm like a second or two behind all day long, because I'm like trying. I didn't connect to start. And goddess knows what we're doing in the ethers all night, doing all kinds of other work. So it's like we have to like come back, hone in, reconnect, plug in, and be like, okay, like I'm here now. And like, let me hone into this energy. So I love that you said that. And then it kind of brings me to, I was kind of just curious, because you've been doing this for so long with so many people. So what is one of the most like craziest, noteworthy experiences that you've had doing the work you do? Just because I'm always kind of curious about like what goes down behind the scenes in some of these.
No, I actually will share. This is one of my, my mom is very supportive, which has been a blessing. I don't, you know, I'm sure she understands as much as she can, because she's gifted in her own way. But she likes to tell people this story. And it was, I think I was doing a medium circle. And when I did that, I would have a group of 8-10 people in a room. And for 2 hours, I just go around and give brief messages to everybody that's in the group, right? And there was this one woman who had come in. And I honestly, I don't remember the logistics of the relationship. But I think it was like her ex. No, he had passed. It was like a fiance or a boyfriend or something. And he kept talking about her finding this box in the basement. And I think she had come a couple times, or she came one time and it came up and he was trying to explain to her where this box was, almost like a toolbox or something was in this box. Well, then she came back and she said, you're not going to believe this. And she told, I like almost fell off my chair. She found the box. It had $10,000 in it. And I said, well, what's my finder's fee? Because I was like, I mean, she was just like, that was the wildest thing. And I think I still have a testimonial on my website from her, because that was just one of those wild situations. I think I will say to you doing this work, and I'll give you another example, is that, and I've always said this, because having, you know, lost my stepbrother when he was only 16, it was traumatic to the whole family. And I mean, he's a stepbrother. He's not biologically connected to me, but through our family, it was just it was hard. It was just a hard experience for everybody involved in that time. But one of the things that I will say is that some of the most challenging readings is doing readings for people who have lost children. There are times I will cry in a reading. I have been emotional. It just, you know, I'm feeling everything that's coming through, plus what the parents are going through. And I've had some extremely special readings with parents whose children have passed. And readings that I did, it was a family that had came in, and I believe it was a mother and a daughter. And so from the perspective of the mother, it was her daughter that had passed. So the sister, it was her sister. And the sister kept talking about somebody or someone having an issue with their throat. There's a problem. I think I even got like a sickness or a cancer hit on this. So fast forward, I don't even know, like a year or two, and these people come back and they bring the father. And so we sit down and this gentleman says to me, when they came home after the reading, their daughter who had passed was talking about somebody really struggling with a cough or a chest or something, and nobody understood the messages. And the father said, "It's me." He had been struggling and had not been very vocal about it. He went to the doctor and had cancer. He got in time enough that they were able to do treatment for him. And he came in to thank me. I'm probably going to cry because I gave that message. But it was really his daughter from the other side that was trying to communicate and say in the way that she could, like, some dad needs to go to the doctor here. And so he will to this day tell you his daughter and the mess, you know, me channeling was a big piece of why he's still here today. And when he came in to thank me, of course, I was a puddle because I was just blown away. Because so many times we give messages, even the other day, someone said, "I had a friend come in, she was super skeptical, but then you said these things." And she just was like, "How does this woman know this?" And then a week later, there were messages that they weren't sure. And then those messages laid out. That's awesome. And that's why it's amazing to do this work. But those are probably two of the main, like, I could go on and on and on, but those were very moving for me. Like, someone finds $10,000 and someone's able to deal with a cancer diagnosis. And I feel like if he had waited, it would have been a different outcome potentially. So that's how much spirit loves us from the other side.
So if that's not enough to, like, get people understanding how powerful this work is. I mean, first and foremost, Stacey, I don't even know what to think now. You're like finding money, keeping people alive, like, holy smokes. Like, you just need to, like, a cape at this point. Like, oh my God. So I'm loving all of this. And I hope you all really felt those stories, because that is the true gift of people like you who are fully stepping into the work that they're here to do. And we talked a little bit about that in the beginning, on so many people who are so gifted and they're not fully stepping into these gifts. And of course, everything in due time, and everybody has their own path, but it's so amazing to see this in real time and see it done in a way that's true and meaningful and successful. And like you said, you've had those pieces in the past as well with the businesses that you help run and all of that. And I will say that that's probably the women who I notice are the most successful running spiritual business. They have some sort of business background. And so they're able to kind of integrate that into the new life of being like a medium or a divine channeler or something like that. So I just love all of this. And I just want to note that, I mean, you've built a successful business doing what you do. And just for people who are young mediums who aspire to create abundant businesses with their mediumship and the spiritual work that they do, do you have any sort of like tips for them or pointers or anything you want to say?
Well, I think patience is like the number one thing, because, you know, when I first left corporate and I like had those freak out moments of what have I done? My husband's holding his breath. You know, I always had a very, you know, well-paying job, and, you know, fortunately, and I give so much credit to my husband, Jim, because if it had, like, my prayer was to get through this without crying. It's really through his support and my family, like my children. Like, my husband carries our insurance benefits, and it made it possible for me to be able to say, I'm going to try this. And he really never questioned me, never, like, you know, if he gets a little worried about money sometimes, and I totally understand it. And I've just said, you know what, I feel so guided to do this and to make this leap. Worst case, it doesn't work and I go back into a corporate or a different type of role or job. But it was really through his support and knowing that, you know, health benefit wise and some of these other things that he was able to take care of that, that really gave me the comfortable space to be able to step out and do this on my own because I was scared. And so I feel like businesses like this, when you create a solid name for yourself, and you know this because I refer people to you, is referrals. And so people love when they, and we're such a niche type of business, right? You know, not everyone is a psychic medium or does human design readings or does Reiki or spiritual counseling or whatever it is. And so once somebody says, I went to this person, I like her, I trust her, please, I would absolutely try her out. That honestly has been a big piece of why I've been so successful. The other thing is, and I tell people the necessary evils in business, your website, which is fine, but social media, doing podcasts, doing marketing, you know, I feel very fortunate to have such a great website and it does all my scheduling and it just makes things smoothly. The other thing, and my team is actually telling me to mention this, is that we have to get over charging for people. You know, there are people that will say to us, why do you charge if this is your gift or whatever? Well, because I have a family to support and there's taxes to be paid and bills and rent to be paid. And I think sometimes people don't understand the overhead of what it costs to run a small business. It's a lot. And I'm getting ready to do my taxes and I'm holding my breath because I owe so much money every year, right? And so people don't always see that piece of it. Not to scare someone getting into it, it's just planning and doing things from a smart way, but it's taking the leap and trusting yourself and surrounding yourself with good people and practicing and having faith and it's all of those things. And there are days I just am like, I can't believe this is my life because I don't work 40 hours a week. I work the hours that I like and can be comfortable working. I can only see 2 to 3 clients a day. That's my limit. And I work 3 to 4 days a week and then I teach. And so I've had to find what works for me and what works for my family. And that's what I've stuck to. And that has really sustained me. And I feel very fortunate for that. So if you're breaking out and you want to do the business, it's just you got to like trust the process and do smart things and be good at what you're doing and do the work. That's probably the best thing I can say. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense. And I was like snapping my fingers over here, like, aho, because it's so true. Like you're talking about the support from your husband, which was huge. Same for me. Like the support that I have in my family was huge. And me really brave enough to kind of like venture onto the spiritual path. And also you were mentioning the structure. Okay. So that's just like a huge part of it as well. And something I had to learn. Okay. You're talking about that structure within the business, which are things like a website or referrals. And referrals are something I actually just learned about. Like, I mean, I've always done them, but I realized like, oh, I can create an affiliate link and give that to my sister friend. And, you know, that way that, you know, we can keep this going and they know her and she knows me and I refer people to her. And like, I literally just found that out like a week ago. Well, I've known about it for like ever, but it just clicked in my head like a week ago. So you're so right. I mean, building, understanding that it is spiritual and a lot of that does feel like the energy of the divine feminine, which is very cyclical and fluid and flowy and channeling. But then there's this other aspect of this more divine masculine where it's holding, right? And it's like the shell of the egg, where I just imagine like the divine masculine is like the shell of the egg and the divine feminine is that fluid kind of jelly thing in the middle that is really fertile. And so it is that beautiful understanding of that it is both and knowing how to build both and knowing how that it matters and it's important in order to have that solid foundation in order to build something for it to grow in the physical realm. So I just want to ask too, because you've been on this path for over a decade, are there any like huge regrets, anything that you would have done differently? Like if you could have done it again?
I think if I could have started earlier and had the faith to do that, I would have. Although, as we know, everything is divine timing. And as a mom, you know, I had to get through certain things in my children's lives before I felt like that I was in a place that I needed to be able to do this, do it well, and still be a mom to my children. And that's been a huge blessing, is having more time with my girls, being more accessible. I don't think I have any regrets. I really don't, because every time I did something, I did it because I felt it was the right thing to do. Have I learned a lot in the process? Absolutely. But not to the point where I can say, I regret not doing this or doing that. I feel like everything, as you know, is such a learning experience that you're like, well, I'm going to do this different next time. Or I feel like if I had handled that this way, we could have avoided that. So we'll just handle it different next time. So there's a lot of, I feel like, trial and error in all of this processing, but I really don't have any regrets. I always say, like, the work I'm doing now is probably, and it should be, the best work that I'm doing, because I'm in my 14th year of doing readings professionally, and I left corporate 8 years ago in May. So it's been a minute, right? And people will come in and I'll say, have I seen you before? And they'll say, well, I saw you like 8 years ago when you were in Greendale. I'm like, oh my God. Like, it just, you know, it like makes me think. And then I just feel like, gosh, well, thanks for still coming back to see me, you know, like, that's awesome that you're doing that. But, I feel good about where I'm at. I have goals for my future. You know, I want to step more into teaching. I don't think that I'll do readings for forever. It's a heavy lifting job. And I think sometimes people don't, I think most people understand that. But I definitely, you know, my plan is to move out of the Midwest at some point once my husband can retire in a few years. So I'm kind of looking to see what that's all going to look like. But I do have goals and plans and things that I still would like to do for myself. Do I want to write a book at some point? Yes. It's just finding the time and all the things, right? But there's just things that I would like to experience. There's still healing I want to do. You know, last year, my goal was to do a retreat. I did. I took women to Utah for a wonderful retreat, and that was a big bucket list for me. And I'm happy that I was able to do that. And I hope in 25 to potentially do some more things like that. So it's just, you know, I really kind of go with the flow of spirit with that stuff too. Like, where am I being guided? What am I being shown? What is my team saying based on what's going on in the world? Like, everything timing wise has to line up too.
Makes sense to me. And I'm with you on that. It's like you were saying that you have like no regrets. I mean, I kind of feel the same way. I'm only a couple years like into my business and spiritual business and all of that. But I feel the same. I mean, it's like, as long as my biggest thing is just keep going one step at a time. You're learning no matter what. It's like, even if you make a mistake, you're learning. You're like, oh, okay, got it. Like, that was like not the thing. And now I know what to look for. And you're kind of honing in on your intuition in the process. So what are you excited for now? Within the collective, within the work that you do, what is kind of percolating for you?
I think the teaching piece of it is really important for me. Stacy and I, like I said, have a group that we're hosting for mediumship training in April. And what we're also hoping to do, I'm still waiting on approval on this one, but the way it looks, in the end of September, Stacy and I will be doing the same mediumship training in Lilydale, which is in New York, which is like the medium mecca and where spiritualism was born. And so that's a huge bucket list for me. And Stacy has a lovely coffee house and cafe in Lilydale. She's a medium, like I said. And so we thought it would be so cool to do a mediumship, like weekend long, like workshop retreat out there. And so those are the types of things that light my fire, to be honest. So I'm prayerful and hopeful that that all works out, and just kind of really seeing where things go. But there's still a need for me to do the readings and to do the spiritual counseling and for me to do the Reiki classes, and people really are wanting to get more in tune to what that is. So that's kind of where I am right now. And again, next year, potentially taking a group to Peru. So that's something that's been kind of on the horizon that we're looking at doing as well. So we'll have to see, you know, what happens. And there's a piece of me that needs to rest, like I'm building in more, a little bit more downtime and a little bit more rest time, because I have been doing this for a while. And, you know, if I could, you know, take a month and go away, sometimes I feel like that would be great, but I definitely am trying to self-care and be more conscious of what I need in terms of downtime in my own healing and resting based on like what the energies are doing for us right now. So
mm-hmm. I so agree with all of that. And so how can people find you? How can they work with you?
So the best place to find me is on my website, which is milwaukeemedium.com. You can also find me at stacytatera.com. I really kind of cornered the medium market in this area by getting the website Milwaukee Medium. So it, I'm very fortunate when people search, I come up, but everything's on my website. I'm on social media, Instagram at MKE Medium 444. And then Facebook, I have a couple pages, Stacy Tatera Medium Healer Teacher. So, but the best way for scheduling is through my website. All my events are posted there. I just let people know it takes 2 to 3 months, if not more, to see me. So when you go into schedule, please understand it will be a little bit of time. I do now offer an emergency reading that is 15 minutes long. And basically, what that means is that I can squeeze you in, but it's a very shortened reading, and it allows us to look at what the immediate issue is. We address it, and you don't have to necessarily wait weeks to be able to be seen. So I did just kind of create that as an option for people, and they're taking advantage of that too.
Mm-hmm. And I do highly recommend this. I mean, it's just, it's really cool, and it's interesting to be able to sit down with somebody who has extensive knowledge in this field and who has done it over and over again for over a decade and can hone in on this gift to be able to help you to see things that maybe you aren't seeing within your life, or to overcome blocks, or to really get the messages that you need at this point in your spiritual journey. So I am going to link all of what she just said in the show notes of the podcast. Please go ahead and click that link. Follow Stacy on IG. And just thank you so much for bringing your energy onto the show and for all that you do here in our home state.
Oh, thank you. So I appreciate that. And just as a reminder, I am in Wisconsin, but I do Zoom calls. So I have clients all over the country. And the world. So if you are you're listening to this and you're in another state, the video readings bring us very close together, and I do those a lot. So, just keep that in mind that you don't have to be local. You can do a video reading. And, for me, they're just the same process as if you were sitting in front of me, but it is definitely an option that a lot of people take advantage of too. So
If you're somebody who doubts that, the whole Zoom thing, trust me, it works. I mean, I actually got a healing from somebody who lives in Greece, and this was like 2 years ago, and it was just amazing, so powerful. It was one of the most powerful energy healings I had ever received. So if you're kind of like, oh, I don't know about that, energy does not know time and space. It will access you, and that laptop has nothing to do with it. So it'll just, it's so smooth. It's so interesting how that energy just works no matter where you are. So if you had doubts there, trust that it is real and it does work online as well. So again, we will have everything in the show notes there for you. And just thank you so much for being here, giving your pup who offered in some howls in this episode, giving him lots of love as well.
I know. I'm sorry about that. He's like, my female, I have two English cream goldens, and Leia's very fine, but Maui starts getting whiny, fussy. And so he's like, Mom, you're not paying attention to me. Mom, I think I have to go outside. So hopefully it wasn't too distracting.
That was perfect. It was so perfect. So thank you so much. You're amazing. And yes, we'll be linking everything below. And don't forget to check her out online. And thank you so much for listening to another episode of the She's a God podcast. Much love.
Thank you for listening to the She's a God podcast. Tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I would love to hear from you. Follow me on social media at This Is Jen Torres for all of the latest. And remember, she is a God, and so are you.